amazing God and how able he is. The word able is actually a word that comes from the word power in the Greek language, and it helps us to understand the amazing power of our God. I hope this is a word really of encouragement. So you can see the reference there. I hope your Bibles are already open. Let's get to Ephesians chapter 3 tonight. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's look at the end of the chapter, verses 20 and 21. Now, this really is, as we look in the book of Ephesians, as we're coming really to really what many would consider the climax. Verse 20 and 21 are the central focus. It's like Paul is building to this point, and then from this point, he'll start disseminating all the practical truths that we live out as a result of our great God. You'll recall a number of years ago now, we walked as a church family through the book of Ephesians, the first half dealing much with our salvation. And then Paul's concern was, how can I, in light of my salvation, live with my fellow believers, with one another? And so much of the book, second half of the book, is dealing with interpersonal relationships within the church family. Very precious book. I love you, you love me, because we're saved. And that is a huge point. But Paul, in the salvation discussion, helps us to understand that we have a great God who has redeemed us. So there's some absolutely amazing truths about our salvation in the first three chapters, deep truths. We won't walk through all of those tonight. We find several prayers that Paul prays, rejoicing in God, but also praying for the Ephesians, that they would grow in the Lord and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of their great God, and the knowledge of their salvation. Here in chapter 3, we've just concluded, there's really what we might call a brief prayer in verses 16 to 19. And then in verse 20, it's like Paul can't help himself. And of course, he's written this on purpose. This should be what happens in our prayer life as we conclude in our communication with our great God. We are become overwhelmed with the joy and delight of being his child, overwhelmed with how amazing he is. And so Paul says in verse 20, now unto him, talking about God. I want to make sure I said the right person. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power, it's in the same way, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by or through Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end, forever. Amen. Paul is exalting the great power of our God. Now, he has already alluded to that, and we're going to come back here to Ephesians chapter 3, but flip probably just a page in your Bible, I suppose, back to chapter 1 as we walk through the outline here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. And again, Paul here is concluding one of his prayers. This is a lengthier prayer. Really, the last section of the prayer begins in verse number 18. And he's praying that the eyes of the Ephesians, of their understanding would be enlightened, that the Holy Spirit would take the Word of God and take the truth of God and help them to understand that truth and grow in their life, in their living for the Lord, and understanding of their salvation. And so he's praying for that. And so he says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know. And he has three things that he's praying for. That ye may know, number one, what is the hope of his calling? What is the end of the calling of God in our salvation? God's called us to salvation. We receive salvation. What's the hope of that? Eternal life, right? Eternity with the Lord. So that you may know, that you may thoroughly understand and let that impact your life, the hope of your calling, and another prayer request, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have, from the moment we're saved, we have been given riches, eternal riches in Christ. We will experience the abundance of that in glory one day, but we enjoy them here now. Christ in me, the hope of glory, as said in another passage. And we enjoy some of those eternal riches now. So that's, he wants them to understand all those blessings that we enjoy now with Christ being with us personally. And then, and this is the part we want to look at tonight, in verse 19 here, and what is the exceeding greatness of his, and no, he's going to put together several words that speak of God's ability or God's power. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? So the direction is to usward, who believe, all right, so he's talking about the relationship that God has with his children, those who have come to trust Christ as the Savior. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working, another power word, of his mighty, another power word, power, another power word, all right, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. So this same power, end of verse 19, is the power that he used in Christ's life to raise him from the dead and to exalt him, to put him in heavenly places far above all principalities. That's another way to put it, all beginnings. Christ is before everything. And all power, the ruling and governments and might and dominion, every possible realm of authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Not only during this time, this age, but in every age, all ages, Christ is going to be over all. We're going to stop here. So look on our notes real quick. God's power is directed, here's your first blank point, number one. God's power is directed to us. Remember I pointed that out in verse 19, the greatness of his power to usward. We don't usually say it that way, but that's a wonderful word, usward. God's power is directed right to us, and that power is for us, available to protect and guide and direct. And so therefore, we should, here's your blank, rejoice. You see, Paul, when he was praying for these Ephesians, wanted them to know that God was working on their behalf. And he was engaging every possible form of power to help us, to let us experience the riches of our inheritance, to understand and know and live in joy and delight that we have a hope for our calling. Now, let's walk back through. You see, I've left you blanks there on the page so you can just write down some notes about these words, power. So these four powerful words. God is that first power, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? That's the word for being capable. This is really where we draw some of the idea for our theme tonight. Our God is able. He's capable. He can do everything, everything that is his will. As I've grown older, I've had to come to admit I am not capable of doing some things physically that I used to do when I was younger. And if I try, I'll pay for it real big time. I am dying. No, don't get scared. We all are. But you understand, I am seeing the effects of this creation in this world. My body, a part of this creation, is groaning in travail until it's released from this, all right? And so I am no longer capable of doing some things that I used to do. My eyes are failing. If I take these glasses off, you'll see me trying to read, you know, and it gets, and there are times my eyes are just, I get done studying and they're tired. They're worn out. That never used to faze me. I used to have the best eyesight in my family. I could see better than 20/20. No longer. God's ability and power to work towards us never fails. He never runs out of resource or supply. In the midst of a pandemic, when, okay, now the next big threat is, you know, am I going to have beef on the table or chicken on the table or poultry on the table here or pork on the table soon? God's resources will never, never, ever, for his children, never, no way, run out. Isn't that great? He's capable to do all of his will, to take care of all of his children. How can I not rejoice? Even in the midst of great challenges, I can still rejoice because I've got my great God. And he's all-powerful. He's capable. Now, he goes on. So, verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working. And this is talking about the operational power that he has. We think of the, and this is, go back to our quiz, the strength of a locomotive that works. It's meant to work. It's able to do so many things. The ability of the Hubble Space Telescope to see so far. Whoa, that's amazing work. God is always operating to do His will. I'm reminded of the promise that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The family of God continues to grow. People are born. People come to know the Lord as their Savior. There's more children of God today than there were a week ago. I've heard the testimony from our missionaries of several folks that have come to know the Lord this week. Will there ever come a point where Jesus is going to have to say, sorry, folks, my blood is not sufficient, it's all run out. I can't do it anymore. I can't do what I used to do. His power is always operational. It's always at work, and it's always able to get it all done. That's the amazing God. He has promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Guess what? You're stuck. Never get away. In the worst of worsts of worsts, Christ is with you. Think of the comfort of that thought for a persecuted brother or sister in Christ. I contemplate and wonder, what would I do if I knew that the next day they were probably going to cut my head off? We've got brothers and sisters in Christ who face that. Young gals in Africa who fear each day to be kidnapped. And God is capable and will be operating in the midst of those trials and challenges all the way to eternity. That's a pretty amazing God. Now, let's go on. So, according to the working of His mighty power, the word mighty is the word that's inherent. It is a part of the very nature of God that He is powerful. He is all-powerful. It is a part of who He is. Our power, as we've already illustrated, continues to wane. It can be built a little bit, but at the end of the day, we're terribly finite, terribly human. God's power is who He is. You can't have God without Him being all-powerful. And that second or final word, power, translated in our King James here, is talking about His power to control. Nothing escapes His control. The best picture I've ever thought of, and it's not original with me in any way, is that God's sovereign power, His sovereign control, is like this massive circle. And nothing. There's lots of freedom inside the circle. People can act up inside the circle, but they never escape. God's truth and holiness will always be in control. Time is within sovereignty. The universe is within God's control. I don't care how many billion light years we'll ever be able to see. It's never beyond God. Always in His control. That's our great God. Now, what happens is to make some of that very practical for us, Paul writes in these verses about how helping us see that this power was what God used to raise Christ from the dead. If this all-powerful, almighty, capable, operational God could raise Christ from the dead, how much more so could He also help us with all that we need Him for in everything in life? Our God is there. He is able. And so then we go on to point number two. God's power then is directed over us. So we need to rest in Him. There is a part of that rest that we also call obedience or following. But let's look at verse 22 and 23, chapter 1. So He hath put all things under His feet. Now, speaking specifically of Christ, the second person of the Godhead. And hath put all things. So God the Father hath put everything, all. You notice in our King James translation, the word things is italicized. That's just to try to help us to understand. So it's just the word all in the Greek language. And hath put all under His feet. Anything that you can think of, it's under Christ's control. And gave Him to be the head over all to the church. You see, He is over us. He's our head. And notice He describes the church here as which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You see, the body of believers have been filled with the very presence of Christ, which includes his power. Somehow, in this unique, wonderful relationship that we have with Jesus Christ as our head, he empowers us to do the work of the ministry, to fellowship with one another and aid one another. He is our head and over us. And though I won't take the time to walk you through the book of Ephesians, what Paul does with this truth that Christ is our head is he says, then you guys can get along with each other. Is Christ capable of making my wicked, selfish heart love you? Well, was God's power able to raise Christ from the dead? Yeah, I'm getting answers out here, right?
Yes.
Well, then can't he help me, even though it's hard, to just love my brother or sister in Christ here at the church? Absolutely. You see, as I rejoice in his wonderful power, I can rest that he is going to help me with all that he's asked of me to do. My requirement is to follow, to trust, to love him. And he will empower me. A Christian, I hope, and children, maybe tonight in particular, know that as you simply say, Lord, I need your help, and I'm going to obey you even though it's hard. And you will experience the empowerment of the Spirit of God. It's not some kind of mystical thing that somehow overtakes you. No, you're fully engaged, and yet you find yourself doing right, and you know that in your heart, that's not you. That's the Lord helping you do what's right. Because in my flesh, there's no good thing. My natural response to any situation is to be self-centered and to do wrong. But when I've been saved and the power of the Spirit of God lives within me, his power is there helping us to walk with him and do right. Giving us, like we see this morning, the encouragement and power to spread the gospel around the world. To let that become a priority of your heart. That's not the natural priority. Like that man who Jesus asked, come follow me. He said, no, let me go first bury my father. You see, that was the natural reaction of his heart. I've got some other responsibilities, and that's more important than being a disciple of Christ. It is supernatural for us to actually do what's right. And yet, Christ's power is so great that he can help all of us do it. That's the joy. He empowers us, and so I must rest in him. Now, believer, let your heart be encouraged tonight. If Christ is my head, then trust him. What he's doing for us individually and for us as a church at this moment in time, he's got it all under control. He's capable. He's powerful. May I trust him? May I not try to control things myself? May I not get discouraged with what seems like something's out of control? May I live my life resting in him. I need to go to the store, pick up some things. Well, who knows who's there? They may have a disease. Well, do you realize that that's been true all your life? It's just been kind of pointed out really recently. And it's like, no, trust the Lord. Be wise. He asks all of that of you. But if that's how God is going to supply your needs, well, then go to Walmart. Pick your things up and under your mask right now, smile. Oh, we've had some funny experiences in our house already. The masks that we have, you know, I saw it coming. I thought, I better get some masks. So I ordered them. Not even from Amazon. Isn't that great? Because it was way too late. They wouldn't come until June or whatever, you know. So anyway, okay. So order these simple things, and it's like a piece of T-shirt material, polyester T-shirt. If ever we start talking with our masks on, they immediately go into our mouth. I must look terribly funny when I walk into a store and I ask somebody some question. It's like my mouth is moving in black. Okay. All right, we do all these things, but at the end of the day, who is it that keeps me healthy? Who is it that holds my life in his hand? Is there something I can do to protect my life? No, only God can do that. And so I rest in him. I stay faithful to doing what God has asked me to do. May God help us this week believer, do right, be careful, but trust the Lord. God has not given you the spirit of fear. You understand your life is in God's hand. God, in fact, has made your body so amazing that we overcome sickness all the time. Yes, one day we will die. And I take that truth and accept it, knowing that God will care for me all the way through. My life will not be done until God says so. Until God says so. Science may tell us, oh, this is why people die. But the scriptures tell us, my life is in his hands. I'm going to trust the Lord. And I'm going to ask the Lord to help me when I doubt and when I'm scared. Now, let me be honest with you. I go out and you start thinking. I've got the hand sanitizer sitting in the console of the truck. And it's like, who am I meeting? And I have to tell myself, David, you're doing what's right. Don't worry. God's watching over you too. What a blessed God. He's capable. He's able. Finally tonight, now, let's get back to chapter 3 as we wrap up this evening. And this is, in a sense, the great place to end, the right place to end. So point number 3, as we come back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. God's power is directed beyond us. So worship. Worship him. We've had rest and rejoice. I couldn't find the best word that starts with R, so we're just going to have an R in the middle of the word, all right? Because that's the right response. That's the response of Paul here. Worship. Worship our Lord. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Another way to put this, the God who is able. He is capable. Another, it's a power word here, all right? The God who is capable. And he, what is he capable of? What's the verse say he's capable of doing? Exceeding abundant above what? All that I could ever ask or I could even think. Remember the quiz? Could God ever make a rock that's bigger than he could move? You see, the child of God is always to ask according to God's will and in God's way. Trusting is God by faith, as the scriptures say. So in Paul's prayer, as he's praying for the spiritual growth, which, don't you understand that that's absolutely amazing? That I would grow in the Lord is a supernatural miracle in my life. And notice, that's what Paul says here in verse 20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we could ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. The same power that is taking me from being a sinner, redeeming my soul, and sending me on to glory as a saint. That power can do exceeding abundant above all that I could ask or think. Stop and consider in your own life, believer. How are you today, and then you look back into when you were saved? How has God changed you? The testimony of every believer, not just a few, every believer is, I'm a new creature. And that new creatureliness has affected every area of my life. I'm somebody different. Why is that? That's because of God. It's not because somehow you turned over a new leaf. You worked hard enough. That's not in you. You can't do that. We all admit that and know that. It's God that is changing me. Dear people, if I can put it this way, you have the blessing of having your pastor at this age, at this moment in his life. You should have seen me back then. It was really bad then. All right? Do you understand that that's the way we all are? And that power is able to do far above what we could ask or think. Are you afraid? He's capable. to do something far greater than you could understand. Pastor, are you saying that if I pray hard enough and strong enough, I'll not die from the coronavirus? Actually, I'm not saying that. It has nothing to do with you praying hard enough or strong enough. It's you submitting to God's will. I can say with assurance, because God's word says so, that you can pray and God will take care of you all the way home. All the way home. Remember this morning, I'm not supposed to be tied to this world. I don't have to face their fears. I have a great God who's all powerful. He's watching over me. He's asked me to be wise and careful in how I live my life, to love my neighbor. You see, I think really a part of some of what we're doing in our day and age right now with the social distancing and so forth is, for the Christian, a way to express my love for them. This world is afraid. And wouldn't they be? What's after death for them? At best, they don't know. And yet their conscience is telling them there's judgment to come. We know that from Romans 1. And so they live fearful lives. So I, in graciousness and kindness, demonstrate some love to them and show some space. Try to give them a smile under my mask. I'm careful to try to show an honest obedience to the civil authorities that God has placed in our life. All of those things are sweet testimonies. But I can walk with my God today, and He will do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, all the way home. So what should I do about that? Unto Him, verse 21, be glory. Be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. This world's not my home. I'm passing through. My purpose and goal is to bring glory to God on this journey and to spend eternity doing the same. I should get in good practice now. Trust my all-powerful God. He is able. And so God's power draws us all the way beyond this moment in time to His glory. Believer, trust your Lord tonight. He's with you. Therefore, you can rejoice. Believer, trust your Lord tonight. He's over you. Therefore, you can rest in Him. Believer, trust the Lord tonight. He's directing life beyond you, beyond this moment, beyond your small circumstance, all the way to glory. And may God help us to worship and glorify Him all the way home. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word tonight. And I pray that as we've come to look again at a character of who You are, Your greatness and Your almightiness, may it cause us peace. May it cause us joy. May it cause us to glorify You. Lord, I pray that You would help each of us to not live in fear, but to live in power, the power of God. To use our understanding of who our God is and what He's doing in our heart and life and how He's taking care of us, how He's growing us into the image of His Son, to use all of that to love others. May I love my neighbor this week in all the ways that You would, Christ. And Lord, thank You that Your power helps me to think rightly about life. And so at the end of the day, I bring glory to God. Help me to do that this week. Keep my eyes on You. Keep me trusting You. And Lord, help us as a church family to bring glory to God in and through this church as we affect our community for the Lord Jesus Christ and help the gospel to be spread around the world. Lord, use all of the current circumstances to glorify Your name. Thank You that You're in control. Nothing has escaped You. Thank You that You're working. It's in Your precious name we pray. Amen.